Our scripture lesson comes to us today from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23, and invite you to listen to this very familiar parable anew today. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But then the sun came, and the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in their heart. This is the seed sown among the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, make it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Let us pray. Holy God, open our ears to hear your word, open our minds so that we can understand, and open up our hearts to receive your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Old Testament scholar, Walter Brueggemann, would often tell people, if the story of the Bible does not connect with our own story, then studying the Bible is only a spectator sport. Honestly, in order to connect with our scripture today, I confess I have a limited capacity because I didn't grow up or work on a farm. I did sell produce at a farm stand, but I only lasted about 2 days. Several years ago, I planted seeds for a blackberry bush, and I found what I thought was a good spot, good soil, the right amount of sun, and a year went by. Nothing sprang up. No growth. I thought there were blackberry pies in my future, but I guess I'm not a very good sower of seeds. Though you may not be a farmer, I'm not a farmer, but at some point in your life, you've tried to grow something. If not for a science project or attempt to grow your own vegetables, you've probably experienced what it's like to plant something. Today we encounter what Jesus calls the parable of the sower. Even if you do not make a living as a farmer or a sower of seeds, anyone with a limited knowledge of agriculture can plainly see what is wrong with this parable. Why on earth would Jesus tell a parable about a sloppy and careless sower of seeds? If seeds are to be successfully planted and grow, then why tell a story about a haphazard farmer who cares not where the seeds fall? Some seeds fall among the thorns, some on good soil, some where the birds take it, some where it dries up. Now, even I know that that's not the best farming practice. That sounds like a sloppy sower of seeds. So why would Jesus give his hearers and us this parable? What benefit is it to us? If you've ever been around church or religion for any amount of time, the traditional answer that is given, even when I was a boy in Sunday school class, was this: we are the sower, and you must cultivate the right conditions of your life, deeds, and words in order to be conferred the fruit of eternal life. You don't want to be the bad soil. And so we, the sowers, are the ones responsible for carrying the word of God into people's lives. Now, on the surface, that translation, that interpretation, seems like a pretty easy allegory for our modern lives. However, today I want you to consider a different perspective. Today, I'd like to challenge that interpretation and offer you something more profound. But it's a very simple reality that might be difficult to accept. In the very pivotal verse in Matthew's chapter 13, Jesus explains the parable outright in verse 18. Listen to what the parable of the sower means, Jesus says. The intention of the parable is not to see ourselves as the sower, but God is the sower. Jesus names the parable and gives direct credit to God as the sower. The Word of God, as John chapter 1 identifies, is Jesus Christ, as John said, the Word made flesh. Jesus further explains the parable, stating that the Word of God, embodied in Jesus himself, is flung around all of creation. It's on the road, it's on the rocky places, the thorny places, the places that are fertile. The parable never instructs people to be like the good soil, but simply communicates that the focus of this parable is upon the sower, which in this case is God, the sower. Such a possibility means that Jesus' ministry on earth as the seed was planted in just about every possible place, even if it didn't take root or it died quickly. This is what Jesus did when he went from town to town, village to village, from Jew to Gentile, Roman and Greek, from poor to rich. The Gospels are full of Jesus traveling to every strata of society, carrying God's good news. Jesus spent time with prostitutes, drunks, tax collectors, Pharisees, religious types, non-religious types, and everyone in between. Jesus names four types of soil conditions. And in all but only one type of soil, the seed grew into fantastic yields. Jesus, as the Word, sown into everywhere in the world, in both good soil and bad, between rocky places and in thorns. The sowing of the Word is planted into all conditions and stages of life. Notice how the seeds never die in the story. The seeds always grow, always provide life to another, in this case, the birds who eat it. God lovingly and generously plants the opportunity for anyone and everyone to experience this life abundant that Jesus was talking about in the Gospels. Now, it appears that God is recklessly and prodigally giving the seeds of life to everyone and everywhere. The late John Claypool, in his book, Mending the Heart, tells a story about a member of his church in Tennessee, a teenager, who went on a robbery spree with two of his friends. And the three were caught with their stolen evidence the next day. The judge had the teenagers and the three shop owners in court a few days later for the trial. The first shop owner said to the judge, "Look, judge, you know, boys will be boys. What happens? Not the end of the world. Just give them a reprimand and forget the whole thing." The second shop owner was of a different temperament, though. He said to the judge, "Judge, These are criminals in the making. I hope you throw the book at them because they need to be taught a lesson. But the third owner, a retired school teacher who had lost the most in the robberies and taught these teenagers years before, had a different take. This third owner looked at the boy from Claypool's church and said, "Billy, I am really hurt by what you did the other night. And I want you to realize what you did was wrong. And I'm really disappointed at you, but I also have confidence that there is a finer, stronger Billy inside of you." And she turned to the judge. "Judge, I wish you could find them guilty, but instead suspend the sentence and release him to me." She said this, "Let me see if I can do anything to get in touch with the better stuff I know is buried somewhere within him." This strategy is the strategy that the judge finally adopted, and it turned out to be a redemptive one, Claypool writes. That there was more to this teenage boy than one episode revealed. So a willingness to look more deeply within turned out to be very life-giving. The boy had the opportunity to turn his life around. You know, there are times in life when we think there is no seed, there is no possibility of growth, renewal, or change in people. But then, why are we the adjudicators of what is or is not bad soil? If God has so lavishly and generously given the seeds to life abundant, do some want to come and snatch it away from people? All of us must be given a second, third, fourth, or more chances to have the opportunity to grow into the people of God who God created us to be. Mistakes, wrongdoing, sins do not have to define us. God has made us and called us very good in Genesis and gives us redemption and forgiveness in order that we may grow and flourish. Meister Eckhart, who was a medieval theologian, philosopher, and mystic, wrote this, "God's seed is in us. If it were tended by a good, wise, industrial laborer, it would then flourish all the better and would grow up to God, whose seed it is. And its fruits would be like God's own nature. The seed of a pear tree grows into a pear tree. The seed of a nut tree grows into be a nut tree. The seed of God grows to be God," he writes. There are all seeds that have been sown in all of us, waiting to grow and yield abundance. And God does not plant just one seed, but multiple. There are seeds inside you that have not grown yet and are waiting for the right conditions. You may be frustrated at the rate of growth, but just wait. The soil is being prepared for the right time. How poetic is it that Jesus uses this parable of the sower as God, that it reminds us that God first started with the Garden of Eden in creation, that Jesus is reminding us that the divine gardener is still at work in God's creation. God has placed God's self in each one of us. Today, I want to ask you this question. How do you see God? How do you see God? Many see God as an old man with a gray beard sitting in some far-off throne alone. Some see God as a judge sitting and waiting to dole out sentences and punish people. Others see God as an angry father who wants nothing but disciplined and unwavering obedience. Maybe some see God as an absent parent who never comes to check in on how you're doing. Or maybe God is a sloppy sower or gardener who carelessly flings around seeds of growth. Today, however you see God, I ask you to consider to see God as a savvy sower who has planted many seeds of redemption, forgiveness, love, change, and growth in your life. Whenever you hear or read this parable, think of yourself not as the bad soil or the rocky ground, but see that these are types of soils that are all conditions of life we go through. We all have rocky times in our life, thorny times. Sometimes our lives get choked with stress, anxiety, and challenge. We have times of deceit of riches, patches of dry, barren places. Isn't that an accurate picture of the human condition? We also have the capacity for rich soil. There are times in our life where there's joy and abundance and love, and we see the fruit of God's seed take root within us. We experience meaningful friendships, marriages, family, and in our loving church family. We see a crop of huge yields. I think of our church's work with the Hope for Ariang mission, our Stephen ministers, our small groups, places of rich soil and opportunities to grow. But have you tapped into our church's opportunities for growth? Remember how I told you earlier that I once planted a blackberry bush, blackberry seeds, and thought I failed? Well, after another year, the bush started to slowly grow and produced some fruit. And each year, the plant grew larger and larger and larger until I couldn't give away all the blackberries that I had. It just took time to grow the plant. And yes, there were many blackberry pies made, mostly by my wonderful wife. Look to God, the savvy sower, and how God still lovingly provides seeds so that in times of fertile ground, we may flourish. It is in times of human flourishing that God has given us the chance to change and grow in new ways. And you cannot have growth without change. A seed must change and grow into a plant. We cannot stay stagnated in our patterns and groups and spiritual practices. When was the last time you decided to grow your seeds? Today, remember that the savvy sower started a good work within you. You have the beginning of something special and wonderful, and that growth is never over. Today, may you know that God is loving and gracious and compassionate to all and has given seeds of abundance to all. Today, may you take the first step in your flourishing and growth when we let our divine savvy sower work in unseen ways. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for all the abundance, for all of the care and lavishness of love that you have given upon us in your creation. God, there are times we find ourselves in rocky ground and dry stretches and patches that are thorny. And God, we yearn for more fertile ground in our life. But God, help us as we transition to the different conditions of life to see that you have sown seeds within us that help us enable to grow and to change. Lord, just as a seed must go through a metamorphosis, so we must go through a metamorphosis, a transformation of our heart, mind, and soul. Lord, help us take up the work of seeing the seeds within us, the seeds that you have planted. And may those seeds take root in the fertile grounds of our lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.